The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, we love this time of the day every single week on a Tuesday morning on the roads. Brian Baldinger joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, presented by our proud partner, Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Go to State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Baldy, good morning to you. We heard you on the radio out here in the Bay Area, call it the Vikings, a Cardinals game. You sounded good up there in U.S. Big Stadium in a thrilling game, 23-22 Vikings. But we're here to talk some Niners as they get beat up in the snow by Buffalo, 35-10. And let's just start with the quarterback and dive right into it. Don't forget, he's our Odyssey NFL insider. Of course, the best football show podcast. Baldy does it all. He takes no breaks during football season. So with that said, how would you evaluate Brock's performance in a snow game like that in Buffalo? Is it a one-off, or the overall picture is he's regressing? How do we assess Brock Purdy in that situation?
I don't think he's playing great by any stretch, but at the same time, I don't know exactly what he's supposed to do. Like, you know, you throw the ball on the first throw to Kittle, and he doesn't catch another pass. Now, they threw to him. He was interfered with. You know, a couple things happened. He wanted to go to him. He got guys jumping up in his face. They ran the ball very well, which helps, but they're not getting any big plays. You know, and that's kind of falls on the quarterback right now. So that's where they're struggling right now. And the finish drives, I mean, the turnovers are killing them, you know, and they're not taking the ball away. So you're minus three on the road in that condition. You got Juice fumbling at the goal line and, you know, Debo fumbling, you know, deep in his territory and a kickoff. Like, these things are killing his team right now.
You mentioned that Brock Purdy hasn't played great for quite some time. We're not seeing the deep shots. You mentioned the turnovers, six turnovers the last 2 weeks. They forced no turnovers against Green Bay and Buffalo. Where has Brock Purdy regressed the most? Is it a receiver issue? Is it a playmaker thing? Or is it on the quarterback? You mentioned that the quarterback's not seeing it. Where's he regressed, Baldy?
I just think, I don't know how much he's regressed. You know, he's not making plays beyond the X's and O's like we are used to seeing on the movement type plays when the play breaks down and he can, you know, scramble and find Kittle that goes, you know, for 50. Like, those type of plays aren't really happening right now. So, I can't say there's just one thing. I think he still sees the field very well. I think he's still accurate with the football. I mean, all the stats say that he is, and they're still getting some chunk plays. But, you know, they're not putting drives together. They're putting themselves in bad predicaments, and it's tough to they're not good enough to overcome it right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'm searching here, but I felt for a while like he's not hitting the back foot and as boom, 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 decisive as he once was. And I just, I don't know what to make of it when I'm watching the guy. Like, I've seen him pump fake more and be reluctant to throw downfield and in the pocket more this year than at any point last year. And I don't know if he's not trusting what he's seeing downfield, if guys aren't getting open. Like, I don't know what to make of the confidence that I'm seeing from Purdy. It just doesn't feel the same.
Well, Buffalo's not going to give you much now, Joe. Like, those two safeties are going to be back there. Taylor Rapp, you know, Hamlin. Like, they're not You're not going to get single high safety against Buffalo. That's why they ran the ball pretty well, you know, at times. They got some explosive runs, you know, from Mason and McCaffrey, both, and Grando. I mean, you got some good runs. And so they're willing to give those up, but they're not going to let you throw the ball over the top. And it kind of make you hesitate. You know, you're not going to get a lot of man coverage with Buffalo. You're not going to get them out of that too deep shell. And so they're going to keep it underneath. They do the same thing to Miami. They choke you out, Joe. You don't see Tyreek Hill ever get behind Buffalo. I'm just throwing, you know, one team out there. But that's how they have a system, and the linebackers are very disciplined, and their drops and what they take away, and they kind of make you hold it a little bit, Joe. And it's kind of unique. But look, they've dominated that division 5 years in a row, no matter who's in there at corner and linebacker, at safety for the most part. They kind of make you hold it, and they kind of make you think, like, this thing isn't really a great throw.
Interesting. You know, you kind of referenced it. We were kicking it around. Kittle in the post game was like, yeah, I ran, you know, I caught a pass. I ran like six or seven other routes, and that was about it. For the life of me, during the game, I'm going, we're down 2, 3, 4 scores at one point in the game late in the third quarter, and you're not throwing the ball. Now, I understand you're running it well, but how can you go into a game against Buffalo knowing you're going to have to put points on the board and just not have George Kittle, a Hall of Fame level tight end, be a big part of the passing game? For the life of me, it just doesn't make sense. I don't understand it.
Real quick, Bud, did you hear George Kittle? Did you hear George Kittle after the game Sunday?
No.
Listen to this.
We'll pull it up in just 1 second here, but Bud, you could answer that, and then we'll play for you after.
It's just, I don't get what they were trying to accomplish with Kittle. I know he's a great inline blocker. I know you got to keep guys in. He's one of the best tight ends the Niners have ever had.
Listen to this, Bud, the back and forth after the game against Buffalo.
Got a pass the first play.
I did. And then catch another pass three. I did not.
An explanation on why you did not?
No, I do not have an explanation. I think I ran like 6 more routes the rest of the day. Could be a combination of that, but no idea. Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, I didn't feel that. I felt pretty open multiple times. It is what it is.
That's as critical as we ever heard George Kittle, Baldy, and he said he ran 6 routes the rest of the game. And I remember you 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They ran a route for Dross. Well, and you were saying, why can't you just run that for George Kittle? He's the best tight end in franchise history. He's elite. He's playing at a high, high level. 2 targets? Again, this is coming off a Baffling. Super Bowl loss where he has 4 targets. I don't get it, Baldy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was in Minnesota on Sunday, and Trey McBride, Arizona's got 73 catches. He had 12 on Sunday. I didn't have any touchdown catches like George, but they call plays for him all the time. And if you looked at the body types, just the body type, Georgia is a better blocker, but Trey McBride is a hell of a player, a great athlete, much like George. I mean, they call plays for him over and over and over again. It could be little whip routes. It could be stick routes. Like, there's tight end delays. There's a million ways to get the tight end the ball. But back before they realized I had no speed, I became an offensive lineman. I was a tight end. And, I mean, I could draw up. And that's all Kyle. It's all Kyle. Like, enough of the system and your offense. Like, get the ball to your playmakers. Like, I can draw up 5 plays to get George the ball. Because we know what he's like after the catch. You know that he's going to be a hard tackle. And McBride's a hard tackle. He runs through contact. But, like, I'm thinking, and I've never met Trey before until Sunday. So they got a good tight end room. So I went over there, I started talking to him, and I watched him warm up. And he's very similar to George. I mean, they're both 6'5", they're both 250 or thereabouts, and they both run really, really good. But one team features the tight end. He's got 23 more catches than George does. One team features the tight end, the other team doesn't really feature him. They just run their offense, and if he's the go-to guy because of what the defense does, then they go to him. They should have thrown to him a couple more times. They had one was pass interference down the field. On Rasul Douglas, whatever it was, you know, and then one, they wanted to go to him on a seam, and the defense lineman's in, you know, in Brock's face, and he couldn't throw it. But regardless, I mean, there's 5 different ways you can get your tight end the ball.
Wow. Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line on the morning roast with Joe Shasky, the Butcher, Bonte Hill. Speaking of targets, how about this one, Baldy? They spent a first round pick on Ricky Pearsall. He's added up and down year off and on the field, on and off the field. But the last 3 games, I saw this, and I boggle my mind. He's run 63 routes the last 3 games. He's got 0 catches and 3 targets. Now, is it a combination of him not getting open? Is it a combination of Brock Purdy not getting him to football? Because you would think at this point of the season, with their playoff hopes basically dead, I know they got like a 6% chance, but let's be realistic. They're 5-7 right now with a bunch of injuries. It doesn't look likely that that's going to happen here, especially with their next five games. But how does Ricky Pearsall run 63 routes the last three games and only get 3 targets and 0 catches? Is he not getting open? What's going on with that, Baldy?
Well, what surprised me about that stat right there, because I did not know that, is that he's even run 63 routes, because you don't even notice him. You don't even know he's on the field.
Wow.
Like, that's how invisible he is. Like, I'm thinking, well, where is he? All right, I see Juwan out there slipping and sliding. I see George doing what he's doing. Like, where's the ball even going for the most part? It's not really, I don't even know who it's going to. Obviously, it's not going to Pearsall, but I talked to him on the field before the game in Green Bay. He said he's here to beat man coverage. I haven't seen him get open. I haven't seen him even look at him where he's even being featured in any way right now.
Wow. And what are you seeing from Debo? I mean, the last couple weeks, and this pains me. Like, he's one of my favorite players, and he's a glorified $30 million kick returner because he's been excellent on the kick returns, although he did have the fumble. It's just, I don't see him doing anything really on offense. What are they trying to accomplish with Debo? I know it's a nightmare right now. We sound super negative, but like, they got to get this thing going. What's going on with Debo?
Nothing. I mean, nothing's going on with Debo. I mean, he doesn't separate when he's not getting open. There's nothing that looks exceptional about him. I mean, we liked him in the dual role, but why would you hand the ball off to him if you had, before this game, McCaffrey and Mason, who both played really well, and Greger? Like, what carries you want to take away from those guys to give it to Debo? You don't. So, we've seen games where he lined up and started the game at tailback because of injuries and stuff. So you're taking that away from him. And now what is he? Is he a slot receiver? Is he an outside receiver? Like, he really doesn't have a position right now. He's just kind of a playmaker when given the chance, but he's not really going to be able to create a whole lot on his own by getting open.
Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. We go over to the defense. Buffalo 4-4 in the red zone. James Cook untouched on a 65-yard touchdown run. What a terrible angle by Tig Brown. Jalen Graham just gets swallowed up in the hole. I was like, wow, there's no resistance there. This defense, I know they're without Nick Bosa. Dre Greenlaw's who knows if he's going to play. Fred Warner's on a fractured ankle that he said he suffered back in week 4. What are you seeing from this defense? Or I mean, is it slow? Well, is it scheme? I mean, Baldy, this is a nightmare.
You look at the touchdown run by James Cook. And, it's the first play that Jalen Graham's on the field. So that's how you know. The first thing I noticed is, Fred's not out there.
Yep.
First thing I saw when I watched the play. So Fred's not out there. Now Jalen Graham runs into Tig, runs into Jair, and they collide. And they're both on the ground. And there goes James Cook. And really, but still, okay, so you have that collision. That stuff does happen. It's not going to happen with Fred Warner there, but it does happen. But that's how you know the lack of speed on that defense. Nobody goes 65 yards in the sleep. Like, you watch the pursuit. Like, James Cook ran away from everybody. And that's, I've been saying it for weeks now. Like, they look like a slow team. They're a slow defensive line. They're just slow in there. And, James Cook goes 65 like that. That should never happen, but, Fred Warner's not in there, and that's what happened.
I'm grasping at straws, Baldy. Does Malik Mustafa at least look good? Because he looked like the only guy who wanted to hit anyone on Sunday night. I mean, is there any silver lining? I know Renardo Green has made some progress as a DB. Yeah. Like, they didn't have D'Amino Lenore out there. Poor Charvarius Ward and everything he's been going through. I don't even know what to say. But is there any silver lining with Malik or Renardo or any of these guys? I'm grasping.
They were both on Amari for no gain until Amari pitched Josh, and they played a little street ball right there and got in there. I mean, they made the play, but nobody had ever seen anything like that before. So, yes, Malik, it will hit you. Like, he shows up. But if you're counting on your safeties to be, like, the safety is the last line of defense for a reason. I don't see any defense lineman making a play. I'm watching Deion Dawkins just play out there with your Gross Matos, with Ukoamu. I mean, he's playing with those guys out there. Nobody's winning any one-on-ones. Nobody's getting off blocks right now. Like, it's not, you know, the linebacking core is depleted. Like, they can't figure out who to play. Devondre, D, like, does it make a difference at this point? They just look very pedestrian at this point.
Even when they were healthy, Baldy, what was the capabilities of this defense under Nick Sorensen? Because there's been a lot of heat on this defense coordinator. Obviously, they fired Steve Wilks a couple days after the Super Bowl. Nick Sorensen comes in. He's with this team the last couple of years as a position coach. What have you seen from Nick Sorensen's scheme and creativity, whether it's blitz packages or non-blitz packages? I know they didn't blitz Seattle at all a couple weeks ago to the final drive, and they didn't work. So what did you see from Nick Sorensen and his creativity on the defense side of football?
Well, you can only, you know, you got to have the horses, you know, in order to kind of scheme some of this stuff up. But still, if you have no horses, you better figure out some scheme where you're getting a free hitter. I don't see any of that. You know, I see Arizona doing that over and over and over again from Nick Raelis. Like, I see unbelievable. In fact, I texted one of the offensive line in Minnesota last week about some of these third down blitzes that got home to Sam Darnold like three times in a row. And they just out-schemed him. But I don't see that at all. I don't see that type of creativity from Nick right now. And maybe he feels like he can't hold up on the back end and he's afraid to do it. But, you know, you can't let teams just go up and down the field like Green Bay and Buffalo are doing to you.
4-4 in the red zone, Shasky, Buffalo.
Monte, we're not good. But Baldy, like...
Well, I mean, they got Josh Allen, too, now.
Right.
So Josh Allen is... He's running for one.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a different animal.
Now. He's whizzing the ball through the snow like it's just nothing. I mean, he's...
Well, that's the thing that bothered me, Joe, is nobody... I was saying this to Nahagian yesterday. Nobody practices in the snow. Nobody. Buffalo's got an indoor facility. If it snows in Orchard Park, they're indoors. Nobody plays in the snow. But from the very first play, I didn't see a Buffalo... I'm watching James Cook make these cuts. Like, no problem at all. Josh Allen, no problem at all. Like, even in his drops and his throws, I'm watching the 49ers slip all over the field from the opening drive, and I can't figure it out. Like, I understand. I don't care if they're a West Coast team, if they practice in Santa Clara. Like, your job, it was known from the very beginning of that game. Your job is to get the right cleats on. You know you're going to Buffalo, so you know you've probably got three different types of cleats. Why are the only... people that are slipping in that game are 49ers. Like, I've watched a defensive lineman come off the ball, and they're flat on their face, like on the ground. I didn't see one. I see that happen to Ed Oliver. I didn't see that happen to Greg Rousseau. I didn't see it happen to any Buffalo. Von Miller. I didn't see it happen to any guys out there. It's just amazing to me how one team could be slipping and sliding all game long, and the other team I didn't see slip once.
Now, it's an embarrassing performance on Sunday Night Football. There's no doubt about it. And I got to turn around and play the Chicago Bears looking ahead on Sunday against Chicago, who had that debacle on Thanksgiving Day. We'll get to Matt Eberflus and how he got fired in the end of that game. But just Chicago, their defense is still solid. I thought their defense played very well in that second half against Detroit. What is the challenge for the 49ers now this Sunday against Caleb Williams and company? How do they slow that offense down?
Well, they're good. They're good defense. I mean, they give up too many big plays in the run game, to be honest with you. That has plagued them all year long. You go back to, like, week one against Tennessee, and they've done it. But for the most part, you know, they've been very good. I mean, they don't give up a lot of explosive plays. They're a zone team. They've got an excellent secondary. If Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and Kevin Byard, if they're all out there, Juwan Brisker hadn't played in weeks, but if they're all out there, they're an excellent secondary. Their slot defender is a great, great player. So it looks like Montez Sweat is back out there. The linebackers are playmakers. I mean, they squeeze you. Like, they don't give up big plays, and they tackle well. So, you know, that was an Eberflus coach group, and they played pretty well all year long right now. The improvement on this team is the moment that Thomas Brown took over the offensive coordinator position, the offense is completely different. And he's probably, I mean, I've heard he's already, like, the leader in the clubhouse to become the new head coach. He's a very impressive guy. But I think offensively, Caleb has really stepped up since he took over 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you saw some throws that they were making. I mean, obviously, the play clock situation notwithstanding. But we'd be remiss if we didn't bring this up. Like, watching the game early on, for Bay Area fans, it was like, wow, it reminded me of KD. KD comes back with the injury. He's in the finals. Oh, yeah. He's cooking. And then all of a sudden, just a little cut and – the calf rolls up, you know what I mean? And he tears his Achilles and he's out and you are just heartbroken. I'm watching CMC and he is on fire. And it feels like his eyes are matching his speed and he's hitting holes. And it's like, I texted the group, I'm like, oh my God, this is vintage CMC. And like, I started to believe again. I'm like, maybe there's something here and they got something going. And then he takes that little pitch to the outside and just goes down and my heart sinks and I felt gutted for him. And I'm thinking, are we ever going to see, I didn't know what the injury was. Are we ever going to see CMC come back and be what he was? I don't even know. They're saying it's a knee. I'm going to take him at face value. I thought I saw the calf roll up into the leg. Baldy, just all your CMC thoughts. I don't even know what to say. This is devastating. He's the highest paid running back in the league. Cover of Madden. I thought he was the best player in the league last year. And I think he's one of the greatest 49ers in terms of an individual season I've ever seen. This is a huge loss.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's you know, non-contact. The play before it, not right before it, but his last carry, like it was a shoestring and he was going to go to the house. Like he hit that thing. And I talked to him up in Green Bay, and he'd been missing some holes, and it was on him. But his vision, exactly what you said, Joe, his vision and his cuts, the line did a good job for him, but he was on to the safety, and he's breaking tackles and running through contact, and he looked like McCaffrey for the first time all year. And then that non-contact thing, and I don't know what happened. I've watched it from every angle 20 times, and, you know, the as soon as that foot hit the ground, man, he buckled. And I don't know what happened. We saw the thing where it looked like something rolled up. Who knows if what that is? I don't know. But he's going to be on the shelf. I don't know if he's going to need surgery or not. But he's not going to play again this year.
Nope.
And so that's probably not a bad thing right now. But at the same time, I don't know the answer to that. Because I showed this play the other day, Joe, of Derrick Henry taking his shot from Nolan Smith in the Philadelphia Eagle game. And I saw Derrick Henry buckle. Like, he got hit in the hip, full speed. And I saw 250 pounds just buckle. He had a hard time getting up. And that's Derrick Henry. He was built out of Kevlar, right? Like, these guys only have so many hits in them. Like, these shots that these guys take, I don't know if McCaffrey can be McCaffrey again. Like, I think he was guilty, and maybe I'm way out of line. So if it gets back to Christian when I say this, I don't mean it to be an attack, but I think he's guilty of overtraining in these off seasons. Like running backs need to, you need to stay in shape. You got to take care of your body, get it. But when you carry the ball 400 times or touch it 400 times, like you need a long recovery and you don't need to be at the trainer's house, you know, doing the stuff that these explosive moves. And I don't know if that's what led to the Achilles, issues, but I'm sure it contributed. His dad said so. You know, and I think the hardest thing for some of these guys to do is just to rest. And that's what he needed to do.
Obviously, we don't need to talk about Eberflus and the decision to not call a timeout on Caleb or whatnot. That was a disaster. I've never seen anything like that. He's gone.
Yeah.
So they move forward here. But I do want to ask you about the Al-Shaair hit. Azeez Al-Shaair in Jacksonville, he's been suspended for 3 games. And Jask and I were in agreement here that it's tough for a defender these days when a quarterback is sliding. You don't know if they're going to fake slide, and you're going full speed, and you're trying to slow down. Now, the forearm to the helmet was nasty. What's your take on this here? Was it appropriate to get suspended for 3 games? And then the hit itself, because Trevor Lawrence got popped, he's probably going to be out this week, and then the brawl breaks out. I respect Jacksonville for protecting a quarterback, but what is a defender supposed to do in that situation every single week, Baldy? Where do you stand on this?
Well, you saw Azeez in San Francisco for years. I mean, I asked Fred Warner about him. Like, is these run blitzes of him, or is this just him, like, attacking the ball? And he says, well, he just sees it and he goes. Like, he fires, like, it looks like a run blitz. And so I've gotten to know Azeez over the years. Like, I don't believe for 1 second that he's a dirty player. He's got he's making this full-speed collision. All right, the quarterback goes down. You can't stop in the middle of it. I think he's suspended because it turned out to be an injury. If Trevor Lawrence just got up and it was just a flag, I don't think there'd be a suspension. But the quarterback is hurt because of it. And I understand that we want to protect these guys. I think it's a little strong 3 games, to be honest with you. I can see a game. I mean, they're in a playoff hunt right now. They're trying to win the division. He's been in and out of the lineup a little bit, but he's a difference maker for that team. They play without a lot of the linebackers throughout the year. But It's unfortunate because I don't believe for one second he had any intent to injure Trevor Lawrence, and I don't know how you measure it if you did. But I don't believe, no one is a little bit, that there was intent. We've seen hits like that from Dre Greenlaw.
Yep.
I don't think you get to know Dre. He's not a violent guy on a football field. He plays a violent game, and he's had a lot of late hits. And, you know, he's been flagged a bunch, or a couple of times at least. Just think it's just a one-time thing from Aziz. I haven't seen that from him.
Where are you going to be at this weekend, Baldy? You were in Minnesota last week for a doozy. They send you to, like, the games of the week, man. I'm jealous. Where are you at this weekend?
Last week there was only three games that featured two teams with winning records, and that was one of them up there last week. So I'm going back. I'm going to see Atlanta and Minnesota. Kirk Cousins returned. Kirk Cousins was awful last week, just awful. So I don't know, like, if Michael Penix is in the warm-up circle right now or not, the on-deck circle. I'm not sure, but I'm a big Michael Penix fan. Huh. But this is Kirk Cousins' return to Minnesota. He's got his hands full out there against that team.
Baldy, we were talking about this yesterday. I was some random radio show. I don't even know what it was over Thanksgiving break. The word in Atlanta is that the ball just comes out of Penix's hands better than anybody down there. He's lighting it up in practice. It feels like if Atlanta loses another game, the noise will start to get louder and louder and louder about Michael Penix Jr. down there in the ATL.
Well, just think about this. Think about this. Look at Bo Nix and the development that kid has gone through. But week one and week two, he couldn't get a ball to a wide receiver to save his life. Now he's airing it out all over the field. And the confidence that he's playing the game with, he looks like he's back at Oregon, playing Oregon State, you know, in some Apple Cup or something, you know, whatever they call that stuff up there. But if you played Michael Penix from the beginning, like, they probably might be running away with the division. The kid is an elite athlete. He's smart as a whip. Like, he has got an unbelievable arm. Like, sometimes you've got to play these guys and let them play through it. You know, the quicker you get him on the field, the better you're going to find out if he's the guy.
Baldy, I believe Oregon State Civil War, and I believe Washington State is Apple Cup because Fuji Apple.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
No, I think you're right about that, Joe.
You're right. Football. It's the Civil War, and I think they called it they changed it up because it's Civil War. You know, people got a little sensitive about that, so I think it's a different name
or
whatnot.
Four score seven years ago.
We just called it a big rivalry game between Oregon and Oregon State. Baldy, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, guys, man. Talk to you next week.
Anytime. Brian Baldy, Odyssey NFL Insider, the best football show podcast. He was here on the River Islands Guest Line. Now,